Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, everybody. Happy Friday to you. It's Merlone, Fourier, and Mego, along with Andy Hart, because those other two guys are off. Mutt is going to join us at 5 before the Red Sox pregame show. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on the game. I'm sure he watched the game. The Red Sox won last night. It's amazing. How about that? It's a good thing, right? Is everybody happy now? So there's still a chance.
Yeah, they won a series finally.
Maybe one game series.
That is more fraudulent than Tom Brady.
How about that? Was that against the first the series they won?
It's the Orioles, one game, and you're counting that as like something grand was accomplished.
Baby steps.
True.
So I know you are aware of this, Andy, because every year we obviously have the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. This year it's Tuesday and Wednesday, August 23rd and 24th. But we got an unbelievable opportunity for everybody who's listening, because Roger Clemens is auctioning off the opportunity to hit live BP at Fenway Park, all to benefit the Jimmy Fund and the Roger Clemens Foundation. The auction, everybody, is taking place Friday, August 12th. That is today. I've completely lost track of what day it is because I'm still kind of in a fog from last night. You'll hear about that at around 4:20. So he's going to auction off this event today during the Red Sox game against the Yankees, and it'll close at the end of the game. So here's how it works. If you're the top bidder, you and 90 of your closest friends will get the experience, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The prize includes 1 hour of batting practice against Roger Clemens at Fenway. He'll be on the bump. And lunch for the entire group. Each participant will also receive one personalized autographed item. The date will be mutually agreed upon between the winner, Roger, and the Boston Red Sox, so all three parties will be involved. Here's how it works. You got to dial up this number, 877-738-1234, to place a bid. The number, again, is 877-738-1234 to place a bid. It's really easy to remember. The starting bid is $5,000. All proceeds to benefit the Jimmy Fund and the Roger Clemens Foundations. So I want to make sure we thank everybody for helping us in this continued fight to strike out cancer. One, does he think Roger Clemens even has anything left in the tank?
What are we talking about? He can still hit 85.
You think
he'll absolutely embarrass
easy.
You?
Embarrass absolutely.
You. If he wants to, he'll embarrass you.
I think I saw Ichiro up with the Mariners, so he's like coaching those guys, and he was pitching for something, and he hit 94.
Ichiro?
Yeah.
And throw 94?
Yes.
Oh, he could throw gas.
He was in the mid-90s, and he's like 45.
Yeah, Roger would embarrass you. That's why the other reason I'd like you to bid on this, because I know you'd go in cocky and he'd absolutely embarrass.
No, I think I have a lot of humility now for like what it looks like. You know, there's the idea and the attitude that I bring to it, but the realization is that I want nothing to do with anything to do with live BP. Like, I don't. Now, the home run derby, like if he's throwing it like that, like, here's my dad. Hey, son, I want to make sure you get some dingers over the wall. Well, like, that is easy. I feel like that's what he's going to be doing. He's not going to be throwing gas.
Well, I think he would probably tailor it to what you wanted. Like, if you wanted to test yourself.
If I put my bat, like, right here?
Yeah, if you want to, like, challenge him, then he's going to throw you, a little chin music, then a fork ball, and you're all over the place.
Did your son play baseball?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you ever his coach?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we just
won the championship on Wednesday night when you were texting me to invite me to your event 14 hours later.
No, but when he was like Little League World, like Little League Baseball, right?
He's wearing a visor. What kind of course he was a coach. Look at him.
you know, he's hardo coach, right?
Clemson.
Yeah. 24/7. Could always work on fundamentals.
We would like tell the kid, like what my son was doing, like everyone, like no one could hit anything. So the goal was not for them to hit the ball. The goal was for us to hit the bat.
Oh, I think that is the most pressure.
I try to throw the ball at the bat.
People have no idea how much pressure you feel when you're out there. You're trying to hit the bat, and it's hard. Because these kids are like swinging all around, and you're like, no. If you just put it in the middle, I have a good chance to hit it. But there's so much pressure. Because these poor kids, you know they're going to cry.
Well, no, but let's just be honest. Like, there are some that are better than others.
Yeah, but your job is to hit the bat.
I know, but also there was this thing where, like, in Tebow's, like, it was like you had four opportunities to hit it by a coach pitch.
Right.
And if you didn't get it on the fourth one, you got to get the tee out.
You get the tee.
It's like, oh, here comes the shame. Somebody get the shame bell. Little John, he can't hit a real ball.
But you only get one swing, right? You only get one swing at the tee.
Yeah, you get, yeah.
And if you, like, miss it, you strike out off the tee.
That's always the worst. They hit the tee and the ball just bounces in front of home plate.
Straight to the ground.
Just run. Just run.
There was an arc, too. Didn't you have an arc? Because in our league, there was an arc that was like 12 feet in front of the tee, and if you didn't hit it past the arc, you were also automatically out.
It's like not hitting it past the women's tees in golf.
Yes, exactly.
But you got to pull your pants down and start walking around with your thumb in your mouth.
So not exactly.
No? They don't go that far?
A little different. You just have to skulk back to the dugout and cry.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I don't know. That's a great opportunity. So
bid on it. Get your cell phone out. Let's go.
Yeah, 877-738-1234. I'm not
talking to you.
You keep wanting me to spend all this money.
Yeah, because I want to take BP off for the Rocket.
You would be one of my nine friends.
I hope so.
I feel like I have to make it up for you.
I didn't make the top 200 for the boat event.
Well, you were on the list, but
I wasn't. I just went over that.
I already apologized.
Well, you know what? Sometimes apologies are not good enough. You have to make it up to people.
All right. So I mentioned to you earlier that I thought it was odd that Cole Strange played. He played 14 snaps.
It was strange.
It was strange. Yeah. Theo did that.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, before the game, I didn't think he was going to play, and I had an issue with. But I'm glad he played. Tyquan Thornton played.
Yeah.
Had two catches. Fine. Marcus Jones, a third round pick out of Houston, did not play. What do you read into that? Does Marcus Jones not playing tell you anything about what his status is with the team, or am I just reaching?
Yeah, I don't have the specific answer. I think there's some questions. Could it be related to the shoulders? But I feel like he's been cleared and been pretty active in practice, even though they don't really go full contact in practice anymore. There's really nothing live, so there could just be your shoulder surgeries that you had over the winter were not quite there. No reason to risk it. Now, what would the difference between Thursday night? I'm guessing he's going to practice on Tuesday. They're going to be hitting against the Panthers Wednesday. At some point, he has to play. So, but I also don't just assume this means he's your starting slot corner, because Cole Strange is your starting left guard, and he played. So it's not like you had to not play to prove you're a starter. Cole Strange is absolutely going to be penciled in as the starting left guard. So it's a curious situation, but I do think it's trending towards Marcus Jones getting some run, significant run at cornerback. But I also think Jack Jones is in the mix, and he played. So it's...
Yeah, you called this, just correct me if I'm wrong, the most interesting position battle so far? Is that how you phrased it? How do you consider the back positional battle that is going on? Because there's some openings there for a lot of playing time.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the one guy who's sort of locked in is Jalen Mills. Your returning starter, who most people don't really believe is a number one corner, or maybe even a starting corner on a good defense, but for you, he's your number one.
Yeah, he's our number one.
He's your guy.
We will treat him as such.
Right. And then after that, there's been times when Terrence Mitchell was the guy opposite him for multiple practices in a row. He's with the ones. Except last night, Terrence Mitchell was out on the field with the twos or threes or whatever you want to call it, Malcolm Butler. Who everybody's excited about, right? Oh, Super Bowl hero Malcolm Butler, he's back. I never thought he'd come back after the way it ended. He's back. Is he going to be the starter? Or is he a sneaky surprise cut candidate? He's out there for a long time last night. Now, interestingly, those guys connected on a turnover, right? Terrence Mitchell had the big punch out. Malcolm Butler recovers it. Although I wanted to ask you, as Mr. Hardo football player, you played in the league. when he swung for that ball, it looked like he had no intentions of making the tackle. So if he misses the ball, the guy might just still be running by him.
It's funny you said that, because I was just like, I rewatched the game, and even a couple times when the corners were tackling, it's like they put their head on the wrong side, right? Their head should go on the sideline just to make sure, you know, to protect themselves, and they don't do it. And that bugs me because it's such an easy thing to coach, and it's so beneficial to the tackler. And so when guys do that, because isn't that a gamble? Like, so you're basically saying, I'm not going to even try to tackle this guy. I'd rather take my chances knocking the ball out, which what would you say? What do you think the odds are? Like, you do it 100 times. How many times? Like, he hit the ball right
perfectly.
Right where
Nailed
he needed it. To. It pops out, and it goes right into the hands of Malcolm Butler. I just feel like you – I know they're coaching that, but I feel like they say, listen, the tackle is the most important thing. Like, getting the guy down is the most important thing. The odds are that you're going to miss.
Right. Oh, yeah. I think that
he wasn't wrapped up.
That's
he
a 5% play. Maybe not even 5%, 3%, 2% that it works out as well as it did, even if you're good at it. It's a hard – he's moving, you're moving, the ball's moving. There's a lot of chances for it to go wrong. And somebody was reminding me, remember they did it against the Browns? I think it was Chubb had like a touchdown run, was breaking away for a long run, and they punched it out from behind. That's not the same thing to me. That's a touch, like that's a last ditch. We're inside the 10-yard line. You're about to score effort. My only opportunity here is swing for the fences, swing for the football. This was a play in the middle of the field, so I didn't really think it was overly fundamentally sound, even though it did actually end up in a big play, in a turnover. But yes, the cornerback position, they have a Miles Bryant was out there last night. Is Miles Bryant in the mix? Is Miles Bryant fighting for a special teams job, and that's why he's returning punts and he needs to diversify the Joneses? Jack Jones looks to me like he's going to make some plays and give some up. He's an athletic young corner that's going to be aggressive.
And a rookie.
Yeah, a rookie corner.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much you like having that and having to count on that.
What do you got, Todd? Let's go to the call.
Yeah,
real quick.
Let's squeeze in Dan in the car because you were just talking about the Roger Clemens BP event benefiting the Jimmy Fund.
Yep.
Dan in the car actually did this back in 2015, said it was completely awesome. Welcome to the show, Dan.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys.
So was he throwing heat or was he giving you kind of like a little.
Thanks for having me. Well, he was throwing meatballs, but there was a couple of times where he geared it up. I'll tell you a quick funny story. This was July 7, 2015. I think it was the first time he had done it at Fenway. And, of course, the money went for a great cause to support, you know, kids' health care and so forth. It was awesome. I run a pediatric practice up in Lewiston, Maine. So, for us, it was just a natural thing. But, anyway, it was cute. My nephew had a hard time hitting the ball, and he finally hit one. He celebrated. And then Roger buzzed him right by the head. It was a riot. Oh, my gosh. It was funny. It was a great day. Dustin Pedroia was rehabbing. He was out right field watching, saying hi to us. You know, Roger couldn't have been nicer. He signed all kinds of stuff. He was very gracious. And, of course, I had my three sons with me, so we had pictures galore. Did a video. I mean, the Herald was there taking pictures. It was just an awesome, awesome time. And I would just want to encourage anybody that whatever money you give, it's well worth it, and it's an awesome cause, and just bid.
All right. Well, I appreciate that that story. That's great. If anybody wants to get on, this is the auction is taking place today, Friday, August 12th, during the Red Sox-Yankees game, and it will close at the end of the game. So you have an opportunity to win this auction. And to do that, you have to dial 877-738-1234 to place a bid. Now, that's important and all, and it's an unbelievably great cause. But you know what else is important? Me. I'm important. And Tyler being abducted by two random women on a yacht in the middle of Boston Harbor. We're going to get to that story next. And also, you obviously know, Andy, that we had our undrafted draft contest with me, Mego, Tyler, and Lou. We each picked a undrafted player who we think would make the team. It has been 18 straight years since an undrafted player, right? 18 straight for Bill. So I'm going to read through the names, and you tell me what you would give those guys grades as, and we'll move forward to see who's in the best position. That's all coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Now back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
What was I thinking? I basically was the guy that walks in and knocks over the DJ table. And everybody's bummed because now the music isn't playing because I asked for Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling.
You ruined your own party.
I did. Like it was everybody was dancing, having a grand old time, and I decided I was gonna be bold, make a bold move. I feel like everyone's gonna want to listen to Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling.
Because
I have no idea.
As far as
it was
48...
on a boat, there is no. Wait, Ryan, there was no ceiling.
Oh, of course. How can you? What kind of party would it be if you're on a boat that had no ceiling? See, in Fourier's mind, 1986 never ended. He's not going to get with the times now. You get with Fourier's times.
I really want it. Say you, say me. I feel like that was a sneaky good, or like you know,
is that Lionel Richie deep cut.
I don't know. Listen. I'm having a lot of back issues. Okay, so I'm on a lot of like muscle relaxers.
You're officially old, yes.
And I remember when the doctor gave me like these all these pills because like I got to have like a minor surgery on my back. They're like, listen, I was like, hey, can I drink with these? They're like, no.
No,
I was like, well,
not.
Can I drink a little?
What do you mean by no?
She said, be smart about it.
That seems vague.
Like, do you know who you're talking to?
I was like, no, she didn't. That's the first time I ever met her.
Beer, tequila, yeah. Like, what's
so,
smart?
So last night was great. I'm sorry that you weren't able to go. It was on the...
You're not that sorry.
Night. I was bummed out. You wouldn't have come anyways, but I wish I gave you a formal invitation earlier. I tried to send an email. You didn't get it. Your name wasn't on there. That's not my fault.
What was this party for, Christian?
Okay, thank you, Ryan, for putting me back on track. Boston Man Magazine, right? It was really cool. Like, I'm humble brag, but I was really proud of the way they wrote this article. It was about, like, the 25-hour radiothon that you're a part of, late-night version. My son, how he, you know, got this disease, where he was at in his life, and how he's dealing with it now. So it was a big, you know, because we're doing the radiothon again, November 16th and 17th. So Matt, the owner of the magazine, decided this was a good way to get the word out.
They came into studio. They took a bunch of pictures of you.
Oh, yeah. That was a big crew.
No, it was a very
big deal.
You had a personal makeup person.
I was going to say, a lot of makeup and Photoshop. I saw the cover. It's a cool cover.
It is cool, right?
Very cool.
A little WEEI mic sock with a little, like, you know, football on the other hand.
The eye black and
the whole thing. Yeah, they did an excellent
job.
He's
an athlete. He's a sports talk guy.
Yep. So last night, there was this big, magazine official launch party. Okay, so everybody was invited, whether you went or not. Everybody was technically invited. Okay, I thought everybody was invited.
Some got the emails, some didn't.
So the morning show, well represented. Courtney Cox was there with her husband Santo. Wiggy was there. Greg was there.
Danielle was there.
No Curtis. Shime,
baby.
You didn't invite Shime.
I did invite Shime. He was part of the. He was part of it. He may
Zip,
say, think
Zip Zada Nilch.
Okay, afternoon Zada? Show, no Lou.
Hold on. Zip, Zada.
And Nilch.
Nilch.
She missed two of the three.
Wow.
Girl, I got to protect her.
She said some of them were disguised as fire extinguishers.
She's turned into my favorite person on radio.
Oh, she's the best.
She is the best. Okay. Foxhole gal.
So Mega was there.
Okay.
Tyler was
there. No, Lou, you said?
Lou is in Vermont.
Okay.
He's doing this weird kumbaya, like, man retreat where they all go up into the woods.
Free-hugging type
ayahuasca.
Thing.
They drink ayahuasca. And they feel what it's like to have 100 hands on them. That's what Lou's doing right now. He's up in the hills in Vermont.
Why?
I don't know. It's like about how to become a real man, something to that effect.
Who made him?
I don't know. So the big part of the story is the fact that Tyler said he wasn't going. And I shamed him. Mego and I both shamed him, and he showed up. Okay? And he showed up pimped out, like suit. Like he looked good. Like he really cleaned up nice. And so he shows up in a suit a little bit late. Okay? So next thing I know, he's getting all these admirers. All these people are thinking, like, you know, he's big timer. Like, he's like,
is that Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, oh my God. He's like looking like Leonardo DiCaprio. And next thing you know, we're like, okay, we're all going to go eat. Okay, the party's over, 10 o'clock. They're shutting down the boat. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here type of thing. So I run in to get a bunch of cake.
I saw the photo.
Okay, I was like, we got a bunch of cake. And next thing you know, Tyler's gone. He is gone. I didn't know what happened to him. I sent a group text out, and I didn't hear from Tyler till this morning. So I had no idea what happened to him. So we have on the phone Ryan. Not our producer, Ryan, because Ryan got an invite, chose not to show up.
I was not peer pressured.
He's never going to give in to peer pressure ever. But, oh, it was two girls.
It was a twofer.
So explain to me what happened last night, because I saw you guys. Everybody was hanging out. The party was over. I came back, and you guys were gone. Like, did you, like, you know, how did you, like, convince Tyler, who is, like, never wants to go out, never wants to do anything? How did you convince him to not let the party start? Because he told me he didn't go to bed till 4 a.m.
I'll be honest, it did not take much. We met him by the bathroom, right? Yeah. And we found out we had a connection of you. And we were telling him about our after yacht party plans. And he decided to tag along. I mean, we put him in the back of my dad's car. He drove us back to our apartment.
Wait, you're driving? You live alone. What are you doing with your dad driving you around to party? So Tyler hopped in your dad's SUV, and then what did your dad do with you guys? Like, what type of father does that?
They threw me in the trunk.
Yeah, Tyler's in the trunk. He dropped all three of us off at Colleen and I's apartment.
Okay, so then you get to the apartment, is Tyler, like, is he making moves? Like, what is he doing?
We were just having a great time. We were drinking. We were just, me and Colleen were changing outfits. We were going out to the bars in Southie.
Whoa, wait, so he did.
That's all true.
Costume change.
I couldn't change. I was the most overdressed person out there, but they changed into more comfortable stuff after the yacht party, and we went to South Boston.
Okay, did you see Greg Hill out there?
I did not, which was shocking, because that's, like, basically where he resides.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. No sign of Greg.
So does cue me in on this, does he have any game whatsoever? Like,
me or Greg Hill?
I'm asking Ryan.
You be quiet.
Okay.
Does Tyler have any game whatsoever? Like this,
he had game. I'll give it to him. The suit was working for him. It was a real conversation starter for everyone at the bar. I heard you guys say earlier, people were like, you get the job. People are making comments. He has game.
So I feel like I'm in one of those, like the host of one of those dating games, and I guess I should ask,
will there be another?
Will there be another date?
Tyler is always welcome to hang out with us. Always.
With us. See, I got both of them.
I heard
both
there's plans.
I like where this is going.
I heard there's plans tonight, this weekend. Ryan said that there's plans this weekend.
I'm free. Let's go.
Okay.
Ryan, where are we going?
Hey, we're at the bar right now. You got to meet us here now.
Are you in the Fenway area?
No, we're still in Southie, but Fenway, we can make Fenway happen.
Okay. Well, I have a couple friends who are in the Fenway area, so you bring your friends, I'll bring my friends, and we'll have a little party.
I think this is perfect.
Made a connection.
There you go. All right, well, there we go. Ryan, thank you for explaining what happened. I'm just glad you guys took care of him, and he came back in one piece and made it to work. I appreciate it. I hope to get a full report with pictures after tonight's, second date
rendezvous.
Yeah, let's hear about it. Thanks, Ryan.
Of course.
All right, well, that's Ryan.
Made a connection.
Listen, I think there's something there, Tyler.
Some sparks.
I think there are. I mean, do you feel them?
With Ryan or with her friend?
Wait, which one do you... I feel like you like...
No, her friend's dating a total... Or was dating a total loser, which is a whole nother story here, but yeah.
The friend Colleen was dating a total loser.
She should totally forget about this friend she was crying over last night. Yeah,
it's, really?
Yeah.
So the guy's a loser. She was a girl that went to the party crying about her boyfriend?
No,
that she was
once
dating?
We get back from the bar after a few drinks, it's probably 2 a.m.,
oh, she was crying. Oh,
the emotion,
he doesn't love
yeah,
me
the emotions
anymore.
Come out, and
you were there to console.
Absolutely,
that's the perfect opportunity.
I was there, swooping right in for the kill.
You're so understanding. Yeah,
I'm so sensitive, kind heart.
Once you get out of her dad's backseat,
yes, yeah.
Was that awkward?
It was my first experience ever meeting her or her parents. So yeah.
Hi, Dad.
Mr.
Tyler,
Riley,
nice
Mrs. Riley.
All right, so I wanted to so last week we had the first ever MFM draft, the undrafted free agents draft. Andy, and
we're not
I
good
wanted
at
to
names.
Get, I know. Okay. I want to get your opinion of what happened. So here's how it works. Tyler, we just put put the five names in a hat, and each person, and we just picked a name out of a hat. It wasn't like a draft. You randomly got who you got right out of the five guys. Brendan Schooler is Tyler's guy. LeBrian Ray is Ryan, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. Mego had Jeremiah Farms, and I love the nickname, a Big Pharma, we're calling him. That was a good one on you there, Ryan. Lou had DeMarcus Mitchell, and I had center Cody Russey. Okay, all undrafted free agents. So after the first preseason game of the season, obviously there's only three, right? So you get your snaps in early. Who do you think is in the best position to win this, 18 years in a row, make the team as an undrafted free agent?
I think
those five guys, because they all played, right? I mean.
Believe so.
Schooler, Ray played, I know that.
Ray Farms, definitely played.
Mitchell, the only guy I didn't reckon, I guess, really pay attention to was DeMarcus Mitchell, but Cody Russey played.
Yeah.
Because there's not a Russell on the team, right? No. Is there a guy with the last name Russell?
No, it's Russey.
Because I saw a guy that looked like Russell.
You were drunk and on drugs.
True. But I saw him pancaking a couple guys, and then I went back
that's
and looked
good.
At it, and I was like, wow, okay. I feel decent about my position.
So I think LeBrian Ray might be in the leader spot right now.
Defensive tackle out of Alabama. Not what a surprise.
But defensive tackle is misleading. He was playing end. He was playing borderline outside linebacker. He was running around, showing a lot of athleticism. And this is a guy that had a really high profile going to Alabama. And I think you combine the high profile that didn't really work out there with the scheme fit, the versatility. I think Ray has a good chance.
So do you think
I would put him one?
So Ryan is in the lead.
In the lead.
Okay. So what about Brendan Schooler? Because Brendan Schooler is the hair on fire special teams guy that a lot of people are excited about.
And I think he is a lock to be with the team.
As like a practice squad.
Practice squad, okay. Absolute 1,000% lock. He spends every waking minute with like Matthew Slater. They clearly are kind of molding him to be a core special teamer. I just don't know if he makes that role this year. I do think the door is open because I think Cody Davis making $2.3 million to be a special teamer. If you can find a guy that is doing that for $800K, Bill will make that swap to save the money on the cap. So I don't rule Schooler out.
Okay.
Russey, the offensive line is so wide open that the only thing is he's an interior guy. If he were a tackle, you'd have a better chance. As an interior guy, you already have James Ferentz as that sort of guard center backup. And what's his name? Hambright has come on to be in the mix as an interior backup. I don't think he has. He's probably another practice squad guy. He probably has a chance to stick there. I don't think he's got a great chance for the
run. Okay. All right. So I guess right now, LeBrian Ray, that's the guy I thought before we did the draft that I thought would actually have the best opportunity to, because they always need depth there. And he's an Alabama guy. I feel like it's like him and Bill and Saban have this understanding. You grab my guys and I'll tell you the truth about them.
Yep.
Like I won't.
And I think that's probably why he's here. I think Nick probably told him, this guy's got talent. He's better than what he kind of produced, and you may get the benefit of the upside.
So I want to go to something else because the return game has been, I guess it's not the top storyline, but it is an important one.
Yeah.
And I felt like both punt return and kickoff return were pretty decent.
Well, yes. Miles Bryant, who I didn't know this until he said it after the game, hasn't returned a punt since high school. His last game of high school was the last time he returned a punt. Never did it in college. Hasn't done it the first couple of years in New England. Didn't do it a year ago. And I thought he looked really good. He had that, what was it, a 30-yarder?
Yeah.
And then he had another 16-yarder. He looked quick, decisive. He was one of those sort of one cut. Like, I'm going to make this guy miss, and then I'm just getting up the field. And he made it work for him. Now, Marcus Jones, we talked about, didn't play.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the mix. That's a two-time All-American returner. I think he had 9 touchdowns in college in the return game. Like, he is a game-changer, explosive. But Miles Bryant looks pretty good at it, too.
I did not think he had that type of ability. I actually had to look at it twice because I wasn't sure. It was like, that's the same Miles Bryant that saved the game defensively when they played against the Buffalo Bills the first time in the snowstorm. That's the same Miles Bryant. Yep. But let's go to the calls. Let's go to Jim in New Hampshire. Jim, how you doing? You're on Merlone, Fourier, and Mego with Andy Hart.
Hi. I was wondering, what do you think about Brian Hoyer being compared to the offense with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as being the most competent person to run the offense, and how important that he would be, especially that he's really going to try to accept the role of being a mentor, and that it might have hope for the offense to succeed with Brian Hoyer kind of like coaching it along?
Well, I think he's a factor. The one problem is he's experienced in the old offense, the Josh McDaniels offense, the offense that they've been running for a long time. This new age, whatever you want to call it, that's bringing in the more extensive outside zone runs and some of the Shanahan formations and different things. I don't know how much he's comfortable with that. Was he with Shanahan in Cleveland?
See, now you're making me do a whole, like, you know, retrofit as far as, like,
so what, he was in
what's his coaching tree like? Because I feel like if that's the case, I think Brian Hoyer is one of the most, you know, one of the most important people on that roster.
Because he knows the system,
because
right?
He knows, well, he knows a lot of systems.
He knows a lot. That's where
Isn't
I was.
Isn't he the most competent out of all of them? Like, if you take a,
yes,
if you take an NFL backup quarterback, and he's a journeyman, he's played in 4 different teams, he's been in 5 different offices, like, he has more knowledge and understanding of how things should work and how defenses are trying to stop you than anybody. What do you got, Tyler?
So Brian Hoyer's 1 year in Cleveland. His offensive coordinator was Norv Turner.
Okay.
So I remember what the Norv Turner offense is, but I just think of Dallas Cowboys.
Correct. No, but just the fact that he has started in so many places and been in so many schemes and been in this scheme multiple times over the years, yes, he has a greater depth of knowledge, offensive coaching, offensive systems, than Joe Judge or Matt Patricia right now. That's just the reality of it. But then you get into, what is Bill's role? Like, you still wonder what Bill, I know some people think, could Bill just swoop in at the end and say, ah, screw it, I'll call the damn plays myself, I'm, you know, the greatest coach on this staff, you do the line, you do the quarterbacks, you guys do the defense, I'll call plays. Like, is that a possibility at all?
I think it's like, if I'm gonna look at the of what,
would that be stupid?
Yes,
that would be stupid. Too,
no, I'm just kidding.
If Bill calls plays, you're calling him stupid?
Yeah, I think it would be stupid. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want anybody to be mad at me, but
wow,
I just
don't blame it on me, Chris.
It's not his job. He just needs to control everything. Listen, can he do it in a pinch? Sure, of course. I wouldn't freak out about it. If anyone's qualified to kind of, hey, listen, we got a man down, can you fill in? Sure. Like, I'll do my best, and his best would be better than anybody else's. I just don't like the mechanics of it. And I know they're saying trust the process, but I just
don't
really believe in it. But I want to move on, because you asked me something earlier, and Mutt's coming on at 5 o'clock, and he's going to join us for a whole hour. We're going to do this all over again, because I still want to play the postgame stuff from Bill about the offense and who's calling the plays and how we slapped around everybody yesterday when the game was over. But what was it that you asked me? You asked me a question, and I didn't write it down because I was doing too many other things.
Okay, so this whole offensive coaching scheme, play calling, is the topic of camp, is the topic of the summer, is the topic of the Patriots. I mean, hell, Dan Orlovsky called it the biggest question in the NFL. Huge story, correct?
Yeah.
So people are going to follow this, see how it plays out. What's the end result going to be? And I asked you a relatively simple question.
Uh-oh.
Is there a better chance that this works out? However it unfolds, it works out at a competitive, acceptable level for Mac Jones and the Patriots offense this year? Or is there a better chance it's an absolute debacle of a dumpster fire and ruins the season?
Okay, I'm gonna answer that question next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
I just got a, you know, Mutt's coming on the show, and he's just openly mocking you, Andy.
Right? Me?
He's openly mocking you about your,
what do you mean?
Your terrible Brady takes. This is your buddy. He'll be here. He'll be here at 5 o'clock to defend himself. All right. So your question, again, was what's more likely to happen?
Yes, more likely that the offensive coaching situation plays out to a competent, competitive level.
That's the one I don't like. Keep going.
Or ends in a debilitating dumpster fire of a debacle. That's okay.
There's really no in between, right? I don't want to play the in between game. But you said competent, competitive level.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Because they may stick.
Which I think.
What if their personnel just isn't good enough? I'm talking about the coaching and the scheme and all that. Does it even get to the point where you find out, are my receivers and my line good
enough?
But
see, I think they have really good skill position players.
So if they fail, if they fail,
yep.
It's a failure in the coaching and the scheme.
Yes.
Okay.
It has to be because. Even the other day, we did a whole like Achilles heel segment. Like, okay, you can't pick the offensive issues and lack of a play caller or indecision at that side of the ball as a potential Achilles heel. Like when the season's over, you can point to this. Not one of us picked an offensive player as an Achilles heel. Like, no, we didn't pick any skill position players. Like Cole Strange was one of them because of the offensive line coaching issues, but we still had to avoid coaching. It just personnel, guys that were going to suck. Like, you have good backs. You have a good quarterback. You have good wide receivers. And after last night, you have really good depth. Like, Wilkerson, Trey Nixon, like, little Jordan Humphrey. They're all good receivers. They're all, what I saw from those receivers is that they can play in the NFL.
What about like, line depth? Dante Scarnecchia, point number.
Obvious point number was, well, his point was.
You don't need to add obvious every time.
Was his, that was, who's going to play right tackle? That was number six.
Okay.
Number six for Dante Scarnecchia, as far as things that he took away from the game, was number six, Wynn would not have played last night. He was injured. Who will start at right tackle if he is unavailable?
So depth at tackle, depth on the line, I think could be an Achilles.
Okay, so to answer your question, I'm going to go with disaster.
Oh, boy.
Okay, because here's part of my reason. Okay, so Ryan, I want to grab this. This was Greg Bedard last night doing his post-game little wrap-up of what he saw, and he put like a stopwatch on the procedure of what was going on after the offense left the field. Here's what he had to say.
It was certainly interesting to watch how the dynamics worked with Matt Patricia also supervising the offensive line. There were certain stretches at one time on my stopwatch. I counted over 4 minutes where Matt Patricia was talking to either the quarterbacks, Bill Belichick, and Joe Judge. Then finally got over to the offensive line. In the meantime, David Andrews was running the offensive line meeting. He had a tablet. He's sitting there going over things with guys. Again, something I've never seen before in an NFL game. Not sure whether they can sustain that because the offensive line coach kind of needs to get to the adjustments during the regular season really quickly.
See, I don't like just real quickly, just because he's never seen it before, I don't necessarily think that it won't work like if under different circumstances. But and I know it's preseason, so you're trying different, just trying everything out. Hey, let's next time, let's see if this works. Maybe we can be more efficient this way, but. That's why I lean, if I only can go one way or the other, if I can't sit in the middle and go yes, no, like Glenn Ordway, I'm going disaster. I'm going communication issues. I'm going you wasted time trying all this stupid stuff out in the preseason instead of like really fine tuning the decision that should have been made 3 months ago.
Yes, no. And we are 3 weeks into training camp. One preseason game is gone, right? And it's only three preseason games now. You lost one of three. You didn't lose one of four. Oh, they're meaningless one. Whatever. And I guess with the joint practices, you can talk yourself into you still have a ton of work to be done. But they're invested in this, right? They have kind of committed. And I don't know when you can pull the plug on whatever doesn't work. Whatever isn't working, whether it's the scheme, we need to scrap these and go back to the scheme we used last year. Mac was good at that. Whether it's the play calling, whether it's Patricia Yates splitting the offensive line. I'd also like to turn the tables on Bedard a little bit. He said he's never seen anything like this in his career. In my career, I've never seen a reporter time a coach with how much time he spends on different portions of the field. So that's unprecedented to me. But if you made me pick right now, I would go with you. Dumpster fire debacle. Just because that's where we're at. That's the information we have over 3 weeks. The offense looks horrific when Mac Jones is out there running it, when they're trying to install what they're trying to install and do what they're trying to do. It is, I keep saying this, it's systemic. Because everybody wants to blame it on the line or the receivers or the Mac. All of it looks bad. All 11. And the 2%, I don't know if you guys talked about that the other day when Mac was saying, we just need to fix the 2%. We just need to be 2%.
Oh, is that what it is?
2% times like 45. You need to be about 90% better. They are not at 98% and just need to fix the, you know, you do a draft in high school of a paper you have to write and you do multiple and then you there's just like that real final clean one and you type it up. You are not in the final edits here.
We did a good job of that today. It's the 2% that we're trying to get to.
My ass.
The 2%ers.
You know, not even close to 2%.
Yeah, you know, did you think last year's offense was like high end? I felt like there was a, and I know in the beginning of the season, like I was really calling out the coaching staff because there were so many just stupid mistakes. They were just floundering. And it wasn't, hey, we're floundering because the rookie quarterback is making mistakes. It's because the play calling was bad. The penalties were bad. Like it was just issue after issue. Like they couldn't get out of their own way. They tightened it up a little bit when they played against crappier quarterbacks and worse coaches. But then it caught up to them at the tail end of the season, four of the last five games they lost. But but when you say competitive, competent, like that, it forces me to kind of, well, you know, like I have a hard time believing that they won't be competitive because they got talent. So the coaching and the philosophy has to be so messed up that it completely like diminishes the return of what I think is a good, talented offensive group. Like, period. They're good. If they don't succeed and they're not productive, it's because you're holding them back or you're teaching them wrong. And that would drive me freaking nuts. Stuck in first gear because you don't know whether to call like the right play or not based on the situation. Like you don't have enough, like, I don't know, like history with this.
I think you like the talent more than I do.
Well, I think maybe because it was like downplayed so much. I feel like people were so dogged on it, were dogging them so much.
Right.
They're like, yeah.
They have a bunch of competitive bodies.
I think they have NFL players. I should put it that way.
Well, and that's where I use the word competitive. Yeah. I think their talent is good enough to be competitive. I don't know if it's good enough to be good. I don't even know if it's good enough to beat the good teams. I think their talent is good enough to be competitive. So if they're non-competitive, like they've looked in practice against their own defense, they've been non-competitive. The defense has kicked their butts more often than not. If they are that on a game field, I have to think it's scheme and coaching and mechanics and all that.
If you had Josh McDaniels here or any top five offensive coordinator, you'd be a really good, competitive, consistent offense.
You have the rest.
You would. Yes, you would. All right, so we are live from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, and we are always here before every single Red Sox home game. And we are brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford Trucks, official truck of the Red Sox. So I want to reset the entire show, Andy. I want to reset the entire show, but I want to bring in a third voice. I'm going to bring in your friend, my friend. He's been mocking you all day.
Was he at the party?
He was invited, though.
He was invited.
Everybody was invited.
Except me.
Because the biggest storyline of the entire offseason has been who is in charge, who is calling plays. So I will give these reporters a lot of credit. Like, they really challenged Bill postgame to try and get some answers as far as who was calling plays, why they were calling it, and did he like what he saw? That's all coming up next on Merlone, Fourier, and Mego here from Fenway.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.